Well, hello again. You know, it's one thing that was really nice. I did not get a call from Brian this week saying, you know, we know your schedule again, but we decided not to meet this week, you know, so that we don't have to do that. I mean, he didn't do that. I wasn't expecting that, but I'm glad I didn't. That didn't happen. That's good to be back again and to be sharing with you. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you are our shepherd. We thank you that our hope is eternal with you. We thank you for all the good things you do in our lives. And we pray that you would speak to us from your word today and you would encourage us and use us and bless us and all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are lots of questions out there, aren't there, in life about all kinds of different things. And I think most of us would like some simple answers, wouldn't we? Sometimes there are simple answers in life. A lot of times there aren't. Some of the questions that get asked are long-time questions. You know, they've been there for a long time and they bring up a lot of discussion, but not always an answer. There's a word out there called, the word is theodicy. That's a theological word. And it asks the question, basically says, why does God allow evil? That question has been there a long time. There are a lot of people who discuss that. And it's, the answers aren't easy to that. They really aren't. The subject comes up in philosophy classes. I took philosophy many years ago in college, and we talked about that subject. Why if God is good, and the Bible tells us God is good, if God is totally good and righteous and all-powerful, then why does he allow evil, right? Do you know the answer to that? I don't. You know, I mean, that's not some little simple thing, okay? That's not a four-word letter, a four-word answer. That's not anything like that. Last week, we looked at a tough one, didn't we? We looked at Asaph in Psalm 73, and he asked the question, why do good things happen to who? To bad people, right? That's what he said. Why do good things happen to bad people? Because I thought that wasn't the way God did things. And that bothered him enough. He almost lost his faith. And did it ever really get questioned? Did it ever really get answered? No. God didn't answer that question. The thing that helped Asaph was he was able to look and see down the road a ways and put numbers together and say, these folks are going to die. The only good times they have are right now. So he realized God is God and he will do what he does in his way, in his own time. So that worked for him. That helped him. It brought him back again, stable to where he was, and he was able to really focus on God and brought some real help and healing in his life. This morning, we're going to look at the other side of that question, really. And the question is not, why do good things happen to bad people? It's more the other way, more the other way around. Let's take a look at that a little bit today. It's not so theoretical, though. In real life, you know, we can ask the question, why did God have those things happen? I get that asked question that probably, I don't know, 3-4 times a week. I've had 3 talks with people in the last 2 days, specifically about that subject. What's going on in my life? You know, what can you tell me this and that, you know, and the concerns that they have. So it's not a theoretical thing to me. It's not a theoretical thing to real people in real situations, is it? When I'm talking with people about this, it's not in a classroom where I'm lecturing them and they're taking notes, okay? You know where it is usually? It's in a family waiting room, like it was yesterday, waiting to find out what's going on. What are you going to tell me about this person, you know, what's going on for them? That one was after a bad bicycle accident when somebody almost died from it, from their injuries, did not die. But we're talking serious stuff, okay? Or it's in an actual patient's room, talking, sitting with them at the bedside, and they're talking about very, very serious things. People want simple answers to tough questions. We would like that too. I'm not of the opinion there are many simple answers in life. There just aren't. I have a friend of mine who says he thinks there are 2 kinds of people. There are people who believe everything is simple. Life is simple. And there are people who believe life is more complicated than that. I got to admit, I'm in the second group. I am. that life is not so simple, that everything isn't, you know, every day isn't a simple little answer. Every day with Jesus isn't always sweeter than the day before, okay? Every little thing doesn't always work out wonderfully. Now, I believe God's working in all those things, but I also know in the line of work I work in, there's a lot of tough things going on, a lot of tough stories, and I'm not there to be God's answer man for them because that doesn't work. But that doesn't mean don't look for help, look for answers. I'm all for that, I think, but it's just not a simple thing. People want to know questions. Now, I said last week, I gave you an assignment. I don't want to forget that. You remember the assignment? What's the assignment that I gave you? I said, would you please think this week, because I'm going to ask you, what is the question I get asked the most as a chaplain? Okay? Did some of you think about that? Right? Anybody come up with, okay, anybody come up with an answer? Yes, all right. One, two. I would like three people's answers, okay? I really, what's yours, Patrick, right? Wow, okay. Why me? All right, good. What's yours? Why? Okay, why did God allow this to happen to my loved one? Is there another one?
What happens when I die?
What happens when I die? Okay. Guess which one isn't the one I get asked the most? That one. Okay? Not anywhere near as much. Guess which one I get asked every time? Why is this happening? Now, they don't generally just say, why is this happening? What they don't mean, well, could you tell me in a theological way or whatever, why bad things happen to people? Could you tell me the basis for it? No, they're not into that. Why not? Because they're lying in bed in a little tiny gown, right? And they're very uncomfortable and life is very hard. And they're not saying, what about the people in Africa or the people in Ukraine? They're saying, why what? Who? Why me? Is that a good thing? Oh, yeah. Life has their attention, doesn't it? Really has their attention right then. I get that. I've been there. I can say to people, I've been on that side of the bed. It's a good question to ask. And this is what I generally say to them. It makes sense that you'd wonder, why me? You know? Because there it is. Why is this happening to me? I say, it makes sense that you want to know the answer to that, because it's like if you're stepping in a bee's nest, what do you want to know? Where's the bee's nest, right? If I'm getting stung, I want to know where it is so I can get out of it because I'm tired of getting stung. The people are saying, is there something I'm doing that's causing this, right? Is there a cause and effect to what's going on in my life? Now, that's a good question, isn't it? I don't know that we try to answer that very often. But it's there. I had probably a real interesting one. One lady asked the question a little differently, a little different wording. She said this. She said, and her nurse had said, please go see this lady because she's had two things happen recently and I don't know how she's reacting to that. So I went to see her and her husband and I knocked on the door and introduced myself and came in. I said, I hear you got some stuff going on. I just want to come and listen. And the husband said something interesting. I liked him. He said, he found out two things had just happened. He said, well, now whenever I see another light at the end of the tunnel, I just figure it's another train. I like that. It's not what his wife said. His wife's the one who had the stuff going on, okay? And she said, I'm going, wait for it. Here it comes, bingo. And she says, I just have one question for you. I said, okay. And she said, what did I do to make God so mad at me that I would have two cancers, either of which could kill me in 5 months' time? That's the question she asked. And I said, wow. Yeah, makes sense you'd want to know that. I get asked that question a lot. I said, and I have a standard three-word chaplain answer. Would you like to hear that? She said, yes. Guess what I said? Yeah, I don't know. Why not? Why don't I know? Because I don't know. Why not? Because God doesn't tell us. And anybody who tries to tell you they know doesn't know. Okay? I'll let you in on that. All right? Look at what... Now, people have been saying they know for thousands of years. Not the same people. They haven't lasted that long. But they've had the same answer, which is the answer that Job's buddies said. You know, Job's friends, let's see, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, and Elihu. Yeah, I still remember those names. Anyway, and Elihu, the last guy. But anyway, the three of them came and sat with him. Job was in a world of hurt, wasn't he? Way, way more than I can relate to. And they came and they were really quiet. They did a smart thing. They kept their mouths shut for quite a while. And then they opened up their mouths and let all this wisdom come out. You know, they said, would it be okay if I share my experience with you? And he said, well, okay. And we know how that went for them, right? Did it go well? No. God basically said, shut up. You're wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. My guy's a good guy. What you're saying, none of what you're saying is right. That doesn't stop people from doing that, okay? When I was a pastor of a church not that many miles from here, our daughter was quite young and ended up with some infections that put her in the hospital pretty often. And one of the ladies in the church said, oh, wow. She said, you know, I wonder what you're doing is causing that. I said, really? You really would ask that, huh? She was serious. People go there sometimes, you know, and that happens. It's people, why do we do that? Because we want what? Simple answers, right? We want to know what's going on specifically so we can deal with that. People don't agree with that. Why is it happening to me? Good question. Wouldn't it be nice if God would actually give us some information about that? It's too bad he doesn't. Oh, wait, I got good news for you. We got a verse to look at here. We've already read it once today. John chapter 9. One of the reasons I knew I was supposed to speak on this message today, because I really wanted to, is because the two main passages that I use were both in the readings. I'm not kidding you. It's just like, okay, cool. I love John 9. Look at what he says, verse 1. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? I ask that every day when I walk into a room. Who sinned that this person has it? No, I don't. Why not? I've not been taught to do that, have you? No, we don't look at it that way. The Jews did. It's interesting. This is what they believe. The Jews believe that God pays back people in this life for what they do, good and bad. In this life, before they die, while they're still alive. That's something. They believe that there are two ways that you can see if God is blessing you or not. You know what? Guess what they are. Number one, if you're healthy. Number two, if you're wealthy. Wow. I think the jury's out on mine, but anyway, you know. Health, pretty good. Wealthy, well, most of my retirement plan is out of this world, that's for sure. And part of the rest of it's gone for now anyway, so I'm not necessarily a high roller, but they thought it was easy to see. If you have a lot of money, God obviously loves you and has his stamp of approval on your life. On the other hand, if there's also two ways you can tell if God's not happy in judging the person. That's not going to be hard to figure out for us because we already saw the one side. What's the other side? There's two things that if they're true, you can tell God is judging. Number one, if you're sick or if you're poor, right? Well, who do we have here that they walk up and they see? A guy who's what? Blind. Uh-oh. So God's doing what? God's judging him, right? So the question isn't, is it possible, Jesus, somehow, that there's some reason going on here with this? No. They skip right over that. They never even ask the question. They just say they want to know. They don't want to know why. They want to know what? Who? Who did it? Now, why would they ask that? It would normally be a really easy question. Obviously, it's the guy, you know, because it's his life. What's the extenuating circumstance here so it doesn't make sense? You know, these guys, they were fishermen and whatever they were, you know, tax collectors and stuff, but they were smart enough to think. And they're going, wait a minute, if God judges the person for their life and the guy's born blind, is there a problem there? Yeah, he hadn't even lived yet any time to be able to do anything bad to get judged for. So they're going, does not compute. I think they're having a talk with themselves. No, 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 you know, well, okay, this doesn't fit my theology, but this, what about, I know, the guy's parents are so rotten that their sin is slopping over onto their innocent kid. And he's blind because they're so terrible. So, Jesus, which of these two is it? That's what they're saying, right? We know it comes from him, from somebody sinning, and we know it's either him or the parents. Which one is it? Wow. That's kind of limiting, isn't it? Now, they're expecting what? A name, right? Is it Beulah and Fred or is it George? God, tell us which one it is. I don't know what their names really were, but they're looking for a simple answer. And he says, basically, it's not that easy, right? It's not that easy. Jesus says, neither. Neither one. He says, that's not what's going on. I love the statement put in the Message. I don't know if you've ever read the Message. I think it's a wonderful version for reading and going, huh, I never thought of that before. Eugene Peterson, good guy. This is what he said. They were looking for easy answers. And they knew he was sick. They believed he was sick because of personal sin, but it was just a question of who is in. Jesus says this, not so fast, guys. He says, wait a minute. He says this, you're looking for somebody to blame. I like that. He says, you're looking for somebody to blame for this. And he says, there's no such cause and effect here. That's the difference. We often are looking for cause and effect in everything in life. We almost believe that everything that happens comes from a specific act of a person. And Jesus blows our mind here a little bit, honestly. He says, not necessarily. We go, what? That doesn't fit what I got taught in Sunday school. Yeah, so that doesn't. That doesn't trump what I'm saying here to you, does it? He says, no. It's not so simple. He says, in fact, what he says is really something. He says, look instead, Peterson's version says this, look instead for what God can do. Isn't that something? If I don't spend all my time worrying about where this came from or how I can figure that out, how can God use this situation? I think that's really key, what we want to talk about today. He gives them a corrective teaching. Now, was there any other information that Jesus gives at a different time? Yeah, Luke chapter 13, I think it is. There's a verse there where he talks about Siloam. He says, there were 18 people that died when a tower fell over and killed them. And then he asks this. He says, now we would... The Jews then would say what? Oh, well, obviously they were sinners, right? They were terrible sinners. And Jesus says, do you think they were worse sinners than somebody else next to them? And the expected answer for him is no. So we're going, uh-oh, that's not what I thought. He says, yeah, I know. It's not so simple. So we think sometimes that we can figure this stuff out. If I see a situation happen in somebody's life, this is why it is. And Jesus says, no, life's harder than that. Sometimes we don't like that because we wish we could just get an answer, but it doesn't help if it's true. I guess sometimes Jesus is saying this. Sometimes stuff just happens. Okay? Sometimes stuff just happens. Now, in a way that doesn't fit, what we'd like to see is that God causes every little rock to roll or every little thing. Maybe that's not quite so true, okay? Maybe that's a little too simplistic. I believe God is involved in life. God uses everything. I don't believe God causes everything to happen. He says he works in our life for everything to be good. But there's some mystery around some of that. Am I okay with letting God be God? I better be, right? Does that mean I understand every little thing he does? No. Is that okay? Well, I have my limits, right? I think Jesus just kind of says some things here that make me go, wow, that makes me think that maybe it's not so simple. When I look at people's lives, It's so easy to be judgmental, isn't it? It's so easy to say, if this person is sick, or if this, it's because they did something, you know, wrong, right? God has just taken my situation in my life in the hospital and helped me to just listen sometimes and withhold judgment and just be curious and say, I wonder what's going on in this person's life. I wonder how they ended up where, I wonder what the story is. When I listen to the story, you know what goes, you know what I end up with? Compassion. And you know what goes out the window when I have compassion? Is judgment. And you know the other side of that? If I go into it knowing that I know what I don't really know about the person, if I start with judgment, you know what I have none of? No compassion, right? Every time. And God keeps reminding me that, Gordon, you missed that one again. It's like, oh yeah, I need to listen, don't I? Yeah. And I need to have an open heart and I need to care. Part of what Jesus is saying, I think a little bit at that point, is we don't know everything. We don't know people's stories. That's why he says don't judge, isn't it? Because I don't know what's going on. When I can just stay curious, that's fun. So I cannot tell you the specific reasons that things happen to us. I don't know that. It's not that simple in life. I can't tell you the reason why. That's good in some ways, because it doesn't always that it's something that I did, so forth. But Jesus, maybe what he says is that I need to listen and ask a different question. Maybe what I need is just not a simple answer. Maybe I need is an understanding of something else. I need information from him, and I need the ability to listen a little bit. The other verse that we read this morning is in 1 Corinthians 1:3. I love that verse. It has been a really important one in my life quite a while ago to be able to understand what this says. Because I want to be like God, right? I want to be like Jesus. And what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Excuse me, I'm in 2 Corinthians 1. I did that again. I could look all day and it wouldn't be in 1 Corinthians. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Okay? From God comes compassion and comfort. Two key words, aren't they, in our lives? Compassion and comfort. And he says, who comforts us in all our troubles? Why? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. That is the key. I can tell people this. I cannot tell you the reason for what you're going through, but I can tell you a result to that. The result is this. When I get through this really hard situation and God helps me through it, then I'm able to take that healing that I've been given, that help and compassion, and do what with it? Share it with somebody else who's going through the same thing. In other words, God does not waste my suffering. Okay? I don't get to know the specifics of why me, why now. But God says, trust me, I'm going to use that in your life, and not just in your life, in the lives of the people around you. And I go, whoa, that's pretty big, isn't it? He says, yeah. See, that changes my suffering into something else. This is something that I want you to realize. I, from my heart, something I've seen working with people in the hospital. Real people want to talk to real people, okay? They don't want to talk to theoretical people. They don't want to talk to somebody just because they have a bunch of book learning. They want to talk to somebody who's got some creds, okay? They really do. And I want to read to you about real in my one of my favorite books in the whole world, Velveteen Rabbit. I love this question. What is real? Asked the rabbit one day when they were lying side by side near the nursery fender before Nana came to tidy the room. Does it mean having things that buzz inside you and a stick-out handle? Real isn't how you're made, said the skin horse. It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real. Does it hurt? Asked the rabbit. Sometimes, said the skin horse, for he was always truthful. When you are real, you don't mind being hurt. Does it happen all at once, like being wound up, he asked, or bit by bit? It doesn't happen all at once, said the skin horse. You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't often happen to people who break easily or have sharp edges or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been lopped off and your eyes drop out and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all because once you are real, you can't be ugly, except to people who don't understand. I suppose you're real, said the rabbit. And then he wished he had not said that, for he thought the skin horse might be sensitive. But the skin horse only smiled. The boy's uncle made me real, he said. That was a great many years ago. But once you are real, you can't become unreal again. It lasts for always. That's good news, okay? That's good news, because that tells me, you mean the hard things that I go through, that I don't understand, and they frustrate me? You mean God, you use that? He goes, yep. What are you trying to do? I'm trying to make you real. Why? Because those are the people that listen to. I'm going to tell you a little story. It's a little off of this, but it's fun. I'm sitting one day talking to a patient. I got to tell you this one. It really did happen. And the guy's a Christian, and I said, you know that verse that talks about loving God with all your heart, soul, and strength and mind? He says, yeah, I know that verse. I said, I got to admit, I'm not so good at that. He says, what do you mean? I said, well, I can't say I love God all, with all my heart all the time. He says, you're a preacher, right? I said, yeah, I'm a chaplain. He goes, picks up his phone, and he goes, yeah, hon, it's me. I'm okay, okay. Look, there's a guy in the room, and he's called a chaplain, kind of like a pastor. And guess what he just told me? He's not perfect. Okay, see you later. Thanks, bye. Click. I'm sitting there going, well, we'll see what comes out of this, you know. What in the world is that about, you know? And then he said, I go to XYZ church here in town, big church. And I said, yeah, I know about that church. And he said, we got a lot of pastors there. He says, I've never heard one of them ever say they're not perfect. I said, well, I know some of your staff members. I've played basketball with them. And they're not perfect, especially when you foul them. Now, that's not the end of the story. He went on to tell about his marijuana use. And we talked about that. And I thought later, if you're a guy from a church like that, similar church, you know, where we are, and you got an issue with that, you need to talk to somebody. Who are you going to talk to? The prim and proper perfect pastor or the slightly clunky chaplain? You're going to pick the chaplain every time. Why? Because real people want to talk to real people, right? Because they can connect. And so I would say this, our hurts in our life provide connection with real people. Okay, that's the hope, folks. That's the whole reason. That's why God, you know, we go, oh, what are you doing, God? All these different things. He said, well, if you knew the bigger picture, you'd be okay, but you don't understand that, so you're just going to have to trust me. Well, I don't want to do that. I want simple answers. He says, well, there aren't any. Well, then I'm not happy with you. Well, okay. But that's, he says, sorry, but that's the way that it is. Where does real come from? Real comes from hard times. It really does. Real people, not just a theory. I found this, that hard times often produce soft hearts. I have a soft heart. You can tell that. It's hard for me to even... I just am so tickled, really, that I get to do what I do. God has given me a heart of compassion. It comes out of, well, I've always been pretty tender, but it comes from going through hard things and seeing tough stuff with people. God is that way. God's a softy. Do you know that? I mean, God is holy and righteous and so forth, but his holy and righteous comes out of his good, okay? It comes out of his love. That's really what his nature is. We think sometimes, well, no, it comes out of the... That's what God is like. He's really on our side. And he says, I use these things in your life because they're important. 20 years ago, next spring, I went through a tough period in our life. My wife and I did both, of some physical things. We'd had other things 20 years before that. But 20 years ago, coming up this spring, I had just finished. Our church went without a pastor for about 4 years, without staff. And another guy and I did all the preaching for 2 years, and I did all the worship for 4 years with that. And I worked a full-time job. And that kind of wore me out and ended up with some issues. And I ended up with serious glaucoma and serious heart failure and AFib. Through the next 7 years, I had surgery on both of those areas. I almost went blind in my left eye. That got worked out okay. I could have died from the heart failure if that hadn't been treated. So this wasn't a fun time, okay? It wasn't a simple time. It wasn't clear what was going to go on. My AFib, I had surgery for. It came back 14 months later. I've been cardioverted. I've been shocked now 16 times. So I'm a triple ace. Okay? I don't have to do that anymore. But I've been through lots of stuff. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling the story here. But I'm saying it wasn't an easy thing. But as I look back now, things are better now. And I say, you know, I didn't just survive it. I've been able to thrive through it. And I can say my life is the best place it's ever been through that. But the most important piece is, out of that, wonderful things that I wanted to see happen, happened. I said a prayer to God a lot of years ago. And it was I wrote a little song. And you haven't heard that one either. I'm not going to sing it for you. But it goes like this. Lord, take my life and make my life a reflection of the love that you offer to this world. Lord, choose my life and use my life to reach out in love to those near me. Now, that's a nice, thoughtful song written by a guy about 28, so somewhere in that age, who meant it. But it wasn't very well thought out. You know why? Because it was like giving God this open, blank order, you know, that he could put anything in. And I'm saying, make me like Jesus. That's a dumb thing, in a way, to say, because it's like I had no control over that, right? I should have at least put some caveats in there, you know? Okay, no surgeries and, you know, 6 cardioversions maximum. I don't even know what those are, but I don't want more than that. And I would like to be able to give okay on these before any of them happen. That's not the way it works, is it? I said, oh, God, use me. Do all these things. He says, okay. And I think the angel looked at that, whatever, said, hey, we got a live one here, you know? Look, he says, I want to work, and God, I want to do some good things. And I want to work with wounded people. He says, oh, check on the, okay, the checklist says, okay, wounded people. Well, to know, to understand that, you got to go through that. So let's go for it. And the tests along the way happen. And I can say, you know, what did I get out of that? The kitchen sink, everything. Am I okay with that? Yeah. Because you know what has come out of that? I get to relate to people. I have a heart pillow connection. What in the world does that mean? Well, I have a heart pillow at home like this because I had AFib surgery. And it was turned out to be a big deal surgery. I was in ICU for 2 days, which I was not expecting. I went to the doctor, the surgeon afterwards, and said, how many times have you done this surgery? He said, 90. How many times have you had people have those reactions? They end up in ICU. Just you. I said, I would rather just blend in. I don't want to stand out and be special, you know. But you know what? As a hospital chaplain working in the heart area, I walk into a room and I see a heart pillow and I say one thing. You know what I say? I got one of those at home. And they go, sit down. Let's talk. Their eyes are like this, you know. They've just been through this big surgery. And they're saying, you look like you're doing pretty well. I am. How long ago did that happen? Well, 10 years almost. Tell me what you've done to get better. You know, boom, boom. Oh, man, they are right there, right? What has helped you? I have the connection like them. I never would have any other way. That's the magic. Well, it was magic. That's the benefit of going through hard things, okay? Hard things is to be able to go through it. There's a patient that I just had just before I took my break, and he said something I really liked. We talked, and he says, "You're real." I said, "Yeah, I'm real. I hear that a lot." He said, "You're easy to talk to." I said, "Well, I'm not here to judge you. I'm just here to listen and love on you and see how I can help you." He said this. He said, "I make a habit to never follow somebody who doesn't walk with a limp." Isn't that something? I heard that from a real person, and I know it's true. Okay? He trusts me because everything isn't all perfect. What if God uses us even more because of the things we go through, not in spite of the things we go, okay? That's probably the takeaway, as I think I'd be better off if I didn't have any of those things happen. Say, no. I heard a phrase that said, really, really skilled sailors are not created or not developed on flat water, right? Anybody ever been down the middle of the Willamette River, floated down there on a raft around Harrisburg and in there? How exciting is that? It's nothing. You could get out and walk faster than that. You know, there are no rapids. There are no anything. There is no danger you're going to drown there, okay? Unless you're too drunk or something, I suppose, and fall out. But the water's not going to take. I've been through the middle of the Deschutes, okay? I've been from Warm Springs to Maupin. 10 major rapids through there. If you don't get the paddle at the right time, you're going in the water, you know? And I finally, the last second, had to go boom, and it came back around, and I didn't get wet. I survived that. I learned a lot more on that raft than on if I just sit in there, right? We think, God, just be easy on me because I want life that way. And God says, I want to use you and develop you and make you more like Jesus. So you get blessed out of that too, okay? So that you feel part of it, and mostly so that other people who go through the same thing you do will be able to connect. I want to read some lyrics to a song by a great theologian who we have the same first name. His name is Gordon Lightfoot, Canadian guy. Anyway, I want to read you a song called Rainy Day People. I like this one. Rainy day people always seem to know when it's time to call. Rainy day people don't talk. They just listen till they've heard it all. Rainy day lovers don't lie when they tell you they've been down like you. Rainy day people don't mind if you're crying a tear or two. If you get lonely, all you really need is that rainy day love. Rainy day people all know there's no sorrow they can't rise above. Rainy day lovers don't love any others that would not be kind. Rainy day people all know how it hangs on a peace of mind. Rainy day lovers don't lie when they tell you they've been down there too. Rainy day people don't mind if you're crying a tear or two. Rainy day people always seem to know when you're feeling blue. High-stepping strutters who land in the gutters sometimes need one too. Take it or leave it, or try to believe it if you've been down too long. Here's the line. Rainy day lovers don't hide love inside. They just pass it on. Isn't that something? It says that twice. Rainy day lovers don't hide love inside. They just pass it on. We think, I've had these hard things in my life and I don't ever want to talk about them and I don't ever want to go there and I just need to be stuck where I am. And God says, you know, if you will open up, I can change how you look at that. Viktor Frankl, maybe some of you have heard of Viktor Frankl. Good guy. He was a psychiatrist about the same time Freud. And he was in some concentration camps during World War II and suffered through some tough stuff. And he ended up with creating something called logotherapy. And this is what he says. He talked about suffering. And he said, my suffering ceases to be suffering when I understand the purpose for it. He found ways to use what he learned to help other people. And he wrote a couple of books and sold a whole bunch of copies of that. My friend of mine and a mentor, Deborah Grassman, said this, don't waste your suffering. The only difference between a hero, her term, and a regular person is the hero doesn't waste their suffering, but finds ways to heal it and then use it to help others. I went to see a lady on Friday, who's just had she's gone through a lung transplant, and now she just fell over and broke her hip. She's 64 years old. I haven't had either of those. Can I relate? Oh, yeah. I don't have to have gone through everything somebody's gone through. I know what it's like to go through frustrating times. I went in, talked to her. She was a Christian. And I said, I'm just wondering, are you kind of wondering what's going on, if maybe God's not happy with you so far? She said, yeah. I said, can we talk about that? I said, I'm preaching on that this week. So I didn't tell her that. But I said, could we talk about it? She said, would you like to? She said, yeah. We spent an hour unpacking all the stuff that she's had all this time that she wanted to talk about. She said, I saw her yesterday before she went home. And she said, I went and checked. How you doing? She said, I can't believe you would come and see me and talk to me about that. I just can't believe you would do that. She said, God sent you to see me and to talk about that. And she said, you can't believe the amount of healing that I've come from. I said, well, I believe you, because we all want to know that we're not alone and it's not just us and so forth. And I said, and as you heal up, I wonder who you're going to be able to help, or you're going to be able to come along right next to and say, been there, done that. It's hard, isn't it? Let me hear your story. You know, how can I be support for you? That's what happens. That's how we get through life. So you know what I'd like you to be? A rainy day people. I really would, okay? When we can be okay with the fact that, what's it going to cost you? Well, like the string horse said, it costs you here and there, okay? I take some hits in my job sometimes. Some of the stories I hear are hard, okay? And they take a little bite out of me. So I have to know ways that I can do the things that heal me up so I can keep doing it. And it does, you know. I'm able to be very resilient because I look to God for their strength. And I also know the needs that I have, and I meet those. And I will tell you this. I can look at the things that I've gone through in my life that have not been easy. And Pete, you might say, are you okay with that? And I say, you know, there's not any of that I'm not okay with. I can say this. God has taken me through areas I never thought I would go. And I'm happy with that because he has used me in ways I never thought he would. I have seen over 20,000 patients in the hospital. That's not my first job. It's just my best one, you know, but to be able to get to do that. I would say this. Do you know what the best thing I bring into the room with me is to that patient? The best thing I bring to that patient is me. Okay? God through my life for what I've learned with them. When we can look at that and say, oh, but no. God uses me because he's prepared me to be with people who need to be with other real people. Okay? When I can do that, then God blesses that. Let's close your eyes just a sec. I'm going to just say something to you here. So I know that there's hard things that we go through. I'm not trying to oversimplify that. Some of you here got some really tough things that you're still having to hang on to, and I understand that too. I heard this from a young mom who had lost a child. I haven't done that. I can't imagine how hard that is. And this is what she said. I'm still mad at God, but we're friends. It's possible to hang on to both of those, to the hurts, to a point at least, to not understanding and the love, and say, God, I don't understand what you've done and what you've allowed in my life, and I don't like that, but I love you, and I've decided to trust you and follow you and let you worry about the rest of it. And God says, I like that. Let me pray for you. Father, we love you. And we thank you that you love us. You are a God of compassion and mercy. You don't allow things in our life because you like to see them hurt us. But you allow things in our life because you like to use us and you like to see us heal up. And Father, I pray for healing, for openness, for the ability to look at tough things in our lives and for the hope that we have that you use us and that the purposes that you have are good for us. Thank you that you are a good Father. You always are that. Thank you, God, you are always good all the time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.